building them?
They built it up.
Okay.
And the landscaping is buffer. Landscaping buffer is a bit wanting.
So, welcome. I'm going to begin. I know that we have one member of the committee will be a bit late, too, probably, and probably is out of town. However, tonight is a scheduled meeting of the Public Facilities Committee, primarily to deal with the DPW budget. Joining me at the table at the start of the meeting is Vice Chair of the Committee, who's Councilor Susan Albright, and Councilor Sandberg from Ward 6, and Councilor Lappin from Ward 8, and myself, Jeff Crockley, Councilor from Ward 5. In addition, we are joined by Councilor Leary from Ward 1, and Councilor Fuller from Ward 7. And I'll then introduce the members of our staff. We're also joined by our committee clerk, Magda Khan. So we have one item to take up before we take up the budget. I believe we'll be joined by Commissioner McGonigal for this item. This is the item 143-16, the John of the Mayor requesting authorization to transfer the sum of $276,135 from budget reserve to complete snow and ice removal for the year, I believe. Rental vehicles, $276,135. Personnel costs overtime, $276,135, and $500,000 on rental vehicles. Good evening.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, so the appropriation that we're asking for is to cover the snowstorms that we had. We weren't expecting two snowstorms in April this year, and we had two significant storms in April and one also in the third week of March. So that was to cover those storms, so that's part of the season. Salt, contractor costs, and personnel.
So this brings us to the end of all things snow and ice removal?
Yeah, well, I said this the end of March, so. So our snow total for the year right now as it stands is $3.7 million.
Okay.
And that was 12 snow events throughout the season.
Okay. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Comments?
Yeah. Well, I guess I could ask this later, but so did you use the brine this year as a precursor to the corn?
Yes.
And how did that work out?
The magnesium chloride, we thought it worked out very well. Again, what the brine does, it prevents the salt from bouncing and scattering.
Yes.
Is the technical term, because this whole salt is a science now. And also what that does, that starts the salt working. The salt does not melt the snow or the ice. It's that brine solution, and when the cars drive over and crush it, it creates that liquid. So this also starts that process. It allows the salt also to work at a much lower temperature. Salt alone can only work down to low 20-degree temperatures. This lowers that temperature much lower also, and it creates... what it does is also does not allow the snow and ice to create a bond with the pavement, so it makes the plowing easier for us.
So, was there a budget savings because you did that? Less salt, perhaps?
Well, we will use less salt also with that, but then you do have the cost of the brine.
Yes.
There is some cost savings also, and the brine is also more environmentally friendly, so there's an environmental aspect there also.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm just curious how that went.
Oh. We'll be continuing to use that because we thought it was very successful.
Like a motion.
Susan hit a couple of the points that I was going to ask, which is great. How many cubic yards or tons, or however you measure it, did we use of that run? And what was the cost? Do we have a cost of that versus the cost of salt?
We do, and I don't have the totals exactly for you. I apologize for that. I actually didn't even realize that this was on the dot. I had all my information at finance last week, but
yeah.
I didn't bring it. So I don't have the exact, but I will gladly get that for you.
Okay.
Gallons, and we'll also include tons of salt.
Okay. And I will probably be meeting. I've spoken with with Maureen and Shane and the commissioner and I and probably a couple of other people will be meeting to talk about the season, getting those reports, any final report that contains any information that we don't have now that still needs to be compiled, and then in all likelihood doing something about bringing the sidewalk ordinance to the board.
Okay. So, motion to approve. I have a motion to approve. All in favor? 4-0. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, on to the meat of this evening's conversation. I'm going to read the three items into the agenda, but briefly, that cover the review of the budget that we're going to hear tonight. 288-15 for N2. Is to go out of the mayor submitting in accordance with Section 5.1 of the City of Newton Charter the FY17 Municipal School Operating Budget totaling $378,969,244, passage of which shall be concurrent with the FY17-21 Capital Improvement Program. And 288-15 is submittal of the FY17 Capital Improvement Plan. And 288-15 for N4 is submittal of the supplemental capital improvement program. So with that, everyone's got their budget book. I'm just going to let Commissioner McGonigal go. I'll note that he is joined by all of the stars of the DCW department. I'll let you introduce them as you wish. And before you start, we've also been joined by President Lennon from Ward 1.
5 minutes.
No, 5 minutes only for you.
So we just introduced the main items for this evening, and so Jim's going to take it away.
Okay, thank you again, Madam Chair. We do have here tonight the people that really make it all happen. I want to thank them all for coming, also, and for their support, especially since I've been here in my recent period. It seems like it's been 8 years already, actually. At the end is Shane Marks. For those of you who don't know him, I think you all know him. Our Director of Operations, Shane Marks. Our Highway Director, Brian Zanaboni. Our Director of Utilities, Ted Jurdy. And our longtime City Engineer, Lou Taverna. So thank you guys again. I do appreciate it. I didn't put together a PowerPoint presentation. We did the CIP. We went through that. A lot of this revolves around that. And I know that you all have a lot of questions, so this is why I also asked my key department head to be here, so we could try to answer all your questions also. I'll give a high level of some of our goals coming up, and again, we'll take your questions from there, so I'm sure you have many. As far as highway, and I know paving the streets, that's going to be definitely a highlight. It's something that impacts everyone throughout the city. Right now we're looking at paving 8 miles of roadway. That's what we're doing this year as opposed to what we've done in the past is we've walked each street to evaluate the street. So we're doing all the curbs, sidewalks, aprons. We have also walked the streets with our ADA coordinator, our tree wardens. We're trying to do a holistic approach here instead of just piecemealing the streets. So while you'll see our funding going up for road paving, our actual miles are going down. We're also looking at different ways of doing this. We're doing more milling and overlaying so we can get more longevity out of the work that we're doing. So there are some changes in the things we are approaching. I know you've all heard of Street Scan. They're actually out, I believe today was their last day scanning the entire city. They said they'd be done by Friday, and it sounds like they were out today just finishing up some areas. So we're on schedule for that. That's very exciting technology for us. That tool not only looks at the city streets objectively, but it also allows us a tool to go in and run models of what we spend and what we would have to do and what streets we should do and also the process that we should do to repair the streets. So this is new technology. This is going to be the key part of our roads program, which we will finalize also this year in FY17. On the transportation side, which Shane has been heading up as of lately, very exciting technology. I know the mayor announced that June 15th we're going to kick off our pay by cell. We're starting that in Newton Center, and we'll put it throughout the rest of the city in July. So again, I know that's long awaited. We're also going to be looking after that. We're going to put some kiosks in some key lots that will also integrate with the pay by cell, and then we're going to move to smart meters from there. The engineering division, again, we have a lot going on project-wise in the city. We've also, we're working to tie up some loose ends that we've had also, not only the major projects, Auburndale Square going on right now. We're in the process of design for West Newton Square for next year. We're also working with a lot of small mitigation funds that are out there for small projects. We're trying to try to tie up all these loose ends, because that's what we've been hearing. You know, people will promise projects that were never completed. We actually met with Lower Falls last night on, you know, projects they've had waiting for traffic comments since 2002. So we're trying to tie up a lot of these loose ends also on that end. Some of the budget increases, decreases. Rock crushing, we've never really allocated money for that before. What we've done is we've looked at what we're using. Again, this year, highway paid for the majority of that, but a large portion of that comes out of the utilities through the water work, some through the storm water. So now we have rock crushing through highway, storm water, and also the water department. Again, there's an increase in funding for streets and sidewalks. Part of the, we have $2.3 million in Chapter 90 this year, similar to what we had last year, $2,000 more, not many, I believe. The million-dollar override, there is $500,000 of additional funding going into the paving account, which we will be doing additional streets with that. And we also are aggressively pursuing the $450,000 MassDOT grant for improvements throughout the city, which is determined by MassDOT. Our first stage that we're going through right now is the assessment of that. And what we do is we prioritize some projects, about 15 projects or so. We submit that to MassDOT, and they pick and choose what they will allow us to do. We are on track to see that this year also. Those funds do have to be spent in the fiscal year. I'll just touch on some high-level things that we can go through. A street clean cost center has been created. Part of our NIFTY's permit requires us to sweep the streets, so we're moving some of that also into the storm water, because also if we collect this debris on the streets, it's much cheaper for us to dispose of it and also to collect it, because we have to go down to the catch stations and disposal fee is higher for that material that is in the catch station. So it is to our advantage, and it's also a beautification, so that's why a portion of this still will come out of highway and a portion out of the utilities, because we are required to sweep the streets. We've committed to doing it at least 2 times a year throughout the city. We're shooting for 6. Because it's a win-win for us to keep the streets clean.
6 years?
Yes.
6?
Yes.
Okay.
Snow and ice funded. There's always been $1 million, was my understanding, DPW budget. The comptroller has held to $2.5 million. That's been raised, increased $250,000 this year. Again, to try to get us closer to our average. And talking with Maureen, she's now looking at a 4-year average, which is about $4.7 million for snow removal. Sanitation funding is increased for the waste management contract. Unfortunately, recycling rates. The recycling is not worth what it used to be. We're maxed out at $60 a ton for recycling in our contract, and we are at that max right now. And the reason that is that recycling, because so many people are recycling now. Again, recycling is a commodity, so the demand is not there. There's an overabundance of it. You know, it's still the right thing to do, but what it does is, you know, recycling, we used to be paid for that. We're now paying $60 a ton to dispose of recycled materials. That is maxed out in our contract for the next 5 years, so it can never go higher than that. We also have additional funding for replacement of carts. We saw many broken carts this year. We talked with waste management, and the carts we initially purchased were not of the best quality. We are buying the carts now. They recommend they are holding up very well. So again, we have some funding in there for the cart replacement. And also the hauling of yard waste. We're looking at discontinuing our yard waste compost at Rumford Avenue to make way for full solar installation up there, and also to get us out of the yard waste business. We've had, alone in the last 12 months, we've had 9 fires at Rumford Avenue due to the compost pile. So not only do we feel we shouldn't be in this business, it is a hazard, and we can have this material hauled out now because there is a demand for it. There are companies that do this commercially for $56,000 a year, which would haul 7,000 yards of our yard waste out. Again, back to transportation, we've increased our budget by $150,000 in the repair and maintenance of traffic signals. That's just seeing that if that's money that we need. These are repairs that we have to do. This is the monthly average we're seeing. These are repairs that have to get done, and we had to come back and ask for additional funding because we didn't have. So we're trying to build our budget around what's really going on with the operation. We have some money allocated in the parking meter line for additional costs associated with the parking kiosks and smart technology, which we'll be looking at, and also an increase in $90,000 to support our streetlight outages and underground wiring issues. Again, just when I first started in September, we had over 200 streetlight outages. We're now down to about 100. 76 of those are underground issues. So we are working with Eversource to identify that it is a power issue, and once they confirm that, we're going to go in and start repairing those 76 that are the underground issues. So by the end of this year, we should have that streetlight number down to significantly lower numbers. On the utilities end, our goal is, of course, to continue the clean line, replace 7,000 feet of pipe for water quality improvements. Complete the construction of sewer project areas 3 and 4. We're beginning construction in project area 5. If anyone's interested in what these areas are, we can touch base on those also. Work to continue to reduce our I&I into the sewer system. Again, clean half of our catch basins, which is 7,500 catch basins throughout the city. Stormwater, we're looking at the stormwater rate structure. Again, we're seeing some street sweepings, the full cost of disposal coming out of street sweepings through stormwater, with half of the equipment cost and half of the personnel cost being split with highway on that. Rock crushing, there's a line in there for that this year, and just some other capital expenditures. Again, the other rock crushing area you'll see is in the water section. It's $120,000 for rock crushing in water also. We produce this much every year of excavate, and we have nowhere to put it. So what crushing it does is it allows us to dispose of it much easier and possibly even sell some of it.
So this is the rock material that's unearthed as a result of any trenching?
Any excavation throughout the city. So in that pile is concrete, asphalt, stone, dirt, gravel, things of that nature. So again, that's just a high-level overview, and we're happy to take any of your questions.
One overriding question before I open it up. So if we go on to page 6 of the budget, your recommended budget is 1.361364 million, and when you were adding up a whole lot of requests for increases to different parts of the budget that were way more than $65,000, so I'm assuming that you've asked for additional money to supplement your budget this year, and so that you're going from the $1,177,200 to the $1,361,000.
when you were saying that, added a quarter.
Where are you getting that?
I'm on page 6.
Yeah.
Of the budget. And I'm looking at the actual 2015 budget and then the amended 2016 budget. So there's only a delta of 65.
Yeah, 1.3, isn't it?
Well, I'm looking at the departmental budget. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the department.
Okay, so I'm not in the right place.
No.
Could you bring me to the right place? And I'm trying to understand what I'm trying to do.
It's on the bottom of our idea.
The front page.
It is, yes.
I'm trying to look at the details.
84
has the bottom line of the cut you're on.
That 83203.
No, page 14.
Yeah, 83203 is adjusted FY16 and proposed 17 is 84777.
What page?
That's the first page after the public works.
Yeah, that's what I was
saying. That includes the utilities.
So that includes the utilities. Yeah, 103 utilities. That's what I'm trying to get to.
The very top mindset was the 22.6 million increase that is moving from one.
Okay, what page are you on?
Page one.
Without public utilities. Okay. Thank you. I was totally on the wrong page. So how is it that you're increasing that? So my question is that he's paying off a lot of kids. How is it that you're increasing all these different line items in your budget when overall, excluding the utility, your budget is going down?
Right, you'll see we did transfer a lot of that. So we moved, as we said, we moved the street sweeping operations. You know, there's
stormwater.
7 employees there, yes, along with half the equipment. So that's where you'll see personnel, services, and also expenses there also. So
how much does that total, approximately?
I don't have that exact number.
If you look on page 1, on the bottom there, you'll see street cleaning and the sewer cleaning. Those are less than 67, so the debt is 50%.
Yeah, right. So there has to be up. So where I would like to go with that is to understand how much money's been, if it's not only the street sweeping, which I noticed months ago that you were moving street sweeping over to stormwater, which I think is really smart. But I'd like to be able to add up the numbers and understand how your budget is going down, but you're adding lots of money into certain line items, even though you're moving some over. How does that math work?
Right, well, I think the major component of that is moving the street sweeping.
But that's only $635,000, What about that first one, where it's 821,000 going down? Does that include utilities? Is that what you're saying?
No.
It does not include.
No, that doesn't. So that's a big number.
Yeah.
The total departmental budget without water, sewer, stormwater.
What's included in personal services? That 434.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm looking here on page 1. Mm-hmm. It's showing the change plus or minus on the far column to the right.
Right. Yeah. That's the point. But that's the point. Is that it's to come up with the total number, there are some confusing things in here to understand what departments you're adding money into certain departments, and yet still your overall budget is going down, and you're only transferring a relatively smaller amount of money over to stormwater.
Right, so Lucian's point, the snow and ice is going to really throw that number
off. Throw the whole thing off.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Because as you can see, what's recommended for 17 is just $1 million. So yep. Whatever we actually spent year to date, which is
that's 4 through 4, 13 of 16, that's even going to go higher,
yeah. That number's going to change again.
That's the amended
number. We always knew that $1 million probably wouldn't do it in any year.
Well, because we're taking money from other reserves.
Yeah.
And that becomes part of the amended budget. I get it.
But why would that explain, like that first one, Public Works Department summary? How does the snow and ice explain that drop of 820?
It doesn't. I'm talking about the overall change to what that's talking about.
Okay.
That's down the 821,000 is
net
negative. It starts with $2 million negative.
On page 2.
Mm-hmm. And then there's some assistance and there's some subtraction.
So you're almost adding this up backwards. But so then how it's working is you're adding it up backwards. So that's my confusion. So that's how it works. You go from the second page and you add those numbers backwards back up to the first item.
Oh,
that's why it's confusing. Okay, thank you.
It might be helpful, but that was indented just a little bit,
yeah.
So that was the summary.
Right.
No test for next year.
We'll work on cleaning that up ahead. Yeah, unfortunately, our finance manager couldn't be here tonight because I'd love to have him be there. I'll bring this up with him tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not intuitive.
I get it.
Oh, I'm sorry, we're going by Count Samuel. Okay, I didn't mean to refer to the question period, so questions from members of the council. Susan, and then Cheryl, and then Susan, and then Vicki, and so on. Okay.
So, you said $500,000 from the override. I thought it was $1 million for streets.
It is $1 million. There's an additional $500,000 being added to this year. I believe it's docketed.
I just saw the docket item today.
I'm sorry, I'm a little premature with that, but there is
an
additional $500,000 which is being requested.
Okay. Recycling. We're maxed out. I didn't realize we had a limit. And if that is the case, then what happens to all of our recycling? Or do we just pay more for it?
Right, so we're at the maximum amount we can pay right now, which is $60 per ton. So we're still, the process is still the same. It's just with recycling being a commodity, I mean, if the worldwide economy takes off, the value of recyclables will go up, so that price will go down for us.
We're
also
not at the maximum amount we can collect, or at the maximum
amount we need. The maximum amount that we're paying for. So
okay.
No, there's no maximum amount of
recyclables. So we are
want
it's
to see
good
that,
that we're maxed out. That that's just
well, price-wise, no. We're what? Maxed out for what we can pay per ton to our hauler, which is $60 per ton.
Why do we want to pay more?
Why do we
want to
pay more?
We don't.
Is that all
because that's what it costs to dispose of the product now. And because the demand's not there for it and fuel prices are low, the cost of recyclables, there's no value in the market to it. So the price for us to dispose of it goes up. In our contract, we've capped that at $60 a ton. Right now, we're at that cap. So again, this is all controlled by the market. This is similar to fuel pricing.
So it's good that
there's
a
gap. It's great that there's a gap
because
we'd be in trouble if we
want.
But just so you know, that's the increase that we're seeing in the recycling. Last year at this time, it was $20 a ton. I'm sorry, $40 a ton. So we're now at the max of 60. So it cannot go any higher than 60.
So
we'd rather have fuel prices skyrocket up again, we'll see the recycling costs come down, but I think the offset of having low fuel prices benefits us really.
Okay. You mentioned streetlights.
Yes.
And I'm hearing, and I don't know, maybe you mentioned it or I'm hearing it from other people, that the LED lights aren't bright enough and that it will cost us, I don't know how much, to...
There are certain areas that have been brought to our attention, and it looks like, so what we're doing is we're working with the lighting company to go out and assess those areas, to actually measure the light that's there. There is a standard, and we are looking at those areas, and we will be most likely replacing lights if we have to. Again, the lights we have now, we'll still be using throughout the city. So we keep these as spares. We don't keep an inventory of lights. So there won't be any loss to what's there, but there will be some cost increase because there are areas that need to have increased lighting.
Because I was speaking to someone from the Transportation Advisory Group, and apparently we are below what the, I don't remember the details, but what
there
the
is
lighting
standard.
There is
there's a lumen standard.
And all of our lights are below the lumen standard.
All of them?
Not all of them.
Not all of them? Okay. Okay. Well,
that's what
I'm telling you. I spoke to someone from the
service.
Yeah.
We're going to conduct the
civic here. So, if I may, Madam Chair, as the acting transportation director as well, that doesn't tell the whole picture.
Okay.
That's one subset of West Newton. So that's the subset of what was happening in West Newton, not the entire city. So we are in the process currently of looking at areas where we know there have been pedestrians, automobile accidents, to look and assess the lighting levels of that area, which, as Commissioner said, we may have to upgrade the lighting or increase the lighting in those areas. So we can't say that the entire city is not adequately lit.
Okay.
One small portion of the use of the lighting.
Okay, so there isn't like that lumen level that we're supposed to meet and we're not? No?
So, the other thing on the LED change out 2 years ago is they simply changed it out to white. So, if it was a 70 watt fixture, they did a replacement with a light. At that time, there wasn't an assessment to say, do we need more lighting at this?
Oh, okay.
At the area. Okay. So, that's the process we're just starting to begin.
Okay, so we don't need a line item for that?
Not this year. We're collecting our data. We'll do some problem areas if we can, but if we find that it is an issue more than what we think, then we may be coming back looking for additional funding.
It sounds like when you were talking about street sweeping and other things, it sounds like you're focusing on the accounting part of public works. I know that it's been an issue in the past. So charging departments for what they're doing at some point.
Right, we're trying to put the cost where they belong. Each department and what they're using. We're still all working together. Again, we're trying to put the cost, then we're doing it with the employees also, especially in the utilities, just to make sure that people are and materials are where they should be.
Great. And I was talking to Lou the other day, and I was not talking to Lou. I was talking to Ted the other day about the lead pipe replacements, and I was happy to hear that the state changed.
Yes,
MWRA.
That's great.
The
customer service that we're building out downstairs, you're going to have the same amount of staffing for that?
Right now we do have the same amount of staffing. We may be looking at growing that. Again, that's really taken off this year with the 311 system. Shane and I have been working closely with Garrett to improve that. We've actually been using Public Works as the model as trying to streamline some of the complaints. There's right now some departments that have so many complaints that the staff has to go in there and they'll spend minutes sometimes trying to figure out where to put things. So what we've done is we've grouped a lot of those together.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also working with department heads where they're getting auto-generated emails of their 311s daily. Again, something that we've piloted in Public Works, which is very successful this winter.
I just spoke on that one. MWRA is a loan program, not a grant program.
Oh, really?
It's similar to the water main replacement program, where you pay one-tenth of your loan back at every year for 10 years.
No interest?
Zero interest. It's very available. The state, Commonwealth, is coming up with some funds for lead in the water.
Right.
Which is free. Yeah, for school.
And lining or just the testing?
No, oh. Testing with the lining.
Okay.
That would be free. That's a grant from the Commonwealth. The lead type of thing from the lining.
So how much are we looking
at? They are not going to allocate per community because everybody has a different amount. So they're going to give us some seed money, but we're developing the program now. We're going to come up with some cost estimates as to what the program would cost, and now we'll get the money that we need to fund the program. If they need more, I can go back to them.
So a line item in the budget to repay it?
There will be a line item in the budget to repay it. That's
part of it. Not for this year, though. For next year.
If we can get it, we may be coming back to you on that. It's a brand new program, so it's not even available yet.
Of July 1.
Okay,
so we'll
be
come out of the water
enterprise.
Been told MWRA said we can also use our current water fund. The idea is let's get the lead out.
Get the lead out.
We're not going to reline it. We're going to completely remove it. And we do have a good idea of where it's at. We're putting together the program right now, so when this money becomes available, we're going to be ready to hit the ground.
Okay.
But if the loan is available on July 1, we wouldn't have to pay it back until July 1 of 2017.
Oh.
So that's the next present day.
Great. I'm going to let some other people ask questions, and then I know we had Alice and Mary had.
I wanted to ask you about line changing. I don't know if it's only in my area, my part of the city, but the lines, I don't think they got painted this year.
No, you're probably right, Susan. And again, this is part of when I talked earlier about we're doing 8 miles of road. What we were doing in the past is we were just paving. It didn't include the other work we were doing, including line changing. So we were using our operational funds, our maintenance funds, to paint the lines on the new street. All our new street contracts this year include that. So we can now take our line paint funding and go out and paint the streets that haven't been paved that need the markup.
Yeah, there's so many crosswalks that it's almost worn out.
Yes, we're going to do all the crosswalks this year.
Can you block the boxes too?
We were talking about that.
So do you think you'll be able to cover the whole city, or how much of it can you get done?
Our goal is to do all the crosswalks in the city this year.
Okay. Okay, that's good. I look forward to that, because I walk in one that nobody can see.
Just on that point.
Yes.
Just on the line painting point.
Can you speak up a little?
Sorry. Just on the line painting point, I raised this issue last week. I know I got a ton of complaints about the current contractor. I understand the same contractor is coming back. I'm hoping that there'll be some really close supervision of this particular contractor who still hasn't fixed a number of the things that happened last year.
Mm-hmm. So, Shane just met with them this week. We brought to their attention. We were not very happy with them either. Last year, our hands were pretty much tied because when we bid this out, we only chose one contractor. This year, with all of our maintenance contractors, we're choosing three contractors. So, of course, we pick the low bid if they meet specifications, and then we also pick the two other next lowest bidders. If contractor number one does not perform, we're moving to contractor number two. We didn't have that option last year. They all know that this year. If they don't fix what they have to, and they don't perform, because we had big issues with our line changing contractor last year. Now we have a backup this year in place, and we're ready to go.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about the rock crushing. Where are you crushing these rocks?
That's happening at the Elliott Street Yard. That's where we store the excavate.
So when will you? I mean, I don't live there, but I know certain members of the council live there. Very nearby. Are you going to be? When do you do this?
We do it during the day, during the week. We've done it this year. We did not have one complaint that I'm aware of. It's not this a really loud process as you would think it is. It's probably actually quieter than snow plowing. So again, we've already done it this year, and we did not have one complaint.
Okay. And I wanted to ask a few questions about Austin Street. So are you going to be doing the work on Austin Street this summer?
The utility work.
Utility work?
Yes, water and sewer.
And what about the undergrounding? Do you know what you're going to be doing with respect to the undergrounding?
We're still working with the utilities on that, so that coordination is not complete yet, no.
Is there a chance it could happen at the same time as, let's see, you're not doing the street this summer, just the utility work. But the street will be torn up.
Correct.
For the utility work, so this might be a good year to do the undergrounding if you were going to do it.
Right. The problem with the utilities undergrounding is it has to happen on its own.
Yeah.
This stuff doesn't even go in the same trench.
Right.
So again, it could happen this year if we could make that work, and we're in the process of working with the utilities on that. Again, we meet weekly on that.
Okay. I have other questions outside the budget, so I think I'm going to let other people
help. Okay. So we're going to focus on the budget. So this year or next.
Okay. On cart replacement. When is that supposed to be happening? You're still replacing with the carts that we don't particularly...
Yes, as we keep the carts in stock now. So as they damage them, we'll replace them one at a time.
Okay, but this is with a new type of cart, that's a better cart than...
Yes, a better constructed cart that was recommended from our waste hauler and also from other communities. And physically, it looks like a stronger car.
Is there a time when you're going to make a complete switch out, and all the old cars would be replaced with this new type of car? Or are you only going to do it on a complaint basis?
Right, as needed basis.
Okay.
Again, they all come into 311, and we replace them right away. So there shouldn't be any issues with people having to wait for additional cars. And there's really no benefit for us to change them out until they break.
Okay. On the replacement of the pipes, you're going to do 7,000 linear feet in a year, is that the goal?
It's a calendar year.
In a calendar year. You are working, you're completing areas 3 and 4?
Two.
On the sewer. And moving toward area 5. Remind me how many areas there are total.
Well,
you've done 1, 2. You've 11, done 1 and 2.
11.
11. 11.
One complete. Two
Lower Falls, West Newton, and
Auburndale.
Three and four. The bid is going to be awarded hopefully in the next week or two. And that's going to be Auburndale, West Newton,
Lower Falls, and
Newton. Okay. And given that time period, the time period that it has taken so far, what's your projected completion date for all 11 areas?
Oh, boy. I didn't know that.
Or you're not out that far.
I want to say, no, it's the line 21, something like that.
Okay.
I thought it was longer than that.
Just for sewer. Not for water.
On stormwater, where the sweeping is going to go, is going to be attributed to the stormwater budget, which seems like a very reasonable place to put it. Does that mean that there was a surplus in that area, or are we now going to have to reduce the amount of work that's done because we're attributing the sweeping to that area? How is that going to work?
Right. Well, we're still required to clean our catch basins, but by getting it when it's on the street, there will be much less disposal of the catch basin.
Right.
And also, it will allow flow of the stormwater, freer flow of the catch basin being much cleaner.
I understand that. But financially, it's not going to reduce the amount. You're still going to do half of the catch basins in a year.
Yes, we should see our disposal of the cleaning, but we're still going to do the same number of cleanings. Mm-hmm. We should see our disposal, which the... It is slightly cheaper to dispose of street sweepings than it is catch basin cleaning.
Because of the contamination. And, yeah. How does that compare to the number of catch basins that we've done in the past 3 or 4 years? Have we always had a goal of doing half of the catch basins in any given year?
We've contracted catch basins out for... I want to say close to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was originally 6,550, which is half of 13,000.
Okay.
We increased it this year to 7,000. We have 7,000, plus we do some in the house. We do all the ones around Crystal Lake every year, twice a year.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of times around Bullock Pond, sensitive areas. Last year we did 7,700 by the end of the year. What we do under that contract, clean around right around 6,500, and then I go back and there's like ComApp before the marathon. I do that every year.
Mm-hmm.
Walnut Street, Center Street, you know, the high traffic areas. So that's why we bumped that up.
Okay. And on the water testing, have we tested all of the schools recently, and what? If so, what have we found?
How it's worked in the past is under our lead and copper testing program, we used to test up to about 2 years ago, 4 years ago, we used to test twice a year, March and September. Of those tests, we would test 2 schools each time. So we do 4 schools a year, and we would go down over as the north of it. With this issue that's come up, what we decided to do right now is we have tested all 22 schools plus City Hall. What we've done is tested 2 fountains, one from the closer source, in other words, closer to the water meter coming in, and one from the farther source.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken a first draw, and then we've taken a draw after 10 minutes. And those were collected Tuesday, taken down to MWRA's lab. It takes about 2 weeks to get the results. The daily samples collected. There were some that weren't accepted because of the chain of custody. Form wasn't filled out right, or the bottle wasn't labeled. So we will retest those. We'll hand the bottles out Monday and collect them. We want to try to collect the sample on Monday morning. And take them up Monday and take them to the lab so the water sits all week.
Okay, and I understand the importance of testing all of the schools, making sure that the water is tested on a regular basis. But can you explain to me, if you tested in year one and you're testing for lead and bacteria and that sort of thing, what changes do you either expect to find or do you actually find in the water and caused by what? What, for example, if we've got lead pipes and we've tested for lead, you're not going to find lead in year two if you didn't find it year one, presumably. But is it bacteria? Is it, what else do you test for that you are most concerned with?
Schools are testing for lead and copper, not bacteria. Alright, we do samples, we do 23 samples a week at various locations throughout the town. Most of them in school buildings, gas stations, whatever, for calling testing.
Okay.
We've never had it yet. If we did it with a fault, if we have to go back and retest the school procedures, by which you gotta do by each standard. In a school, could you test negative and then 5 years later test positive is what you're asking.
For lead, for instance.
What's the possibility? Well, you could have, the person that pulled the sample year one, maybe it wasn't the first draw, So now all of a sudden you're trying to make it clean. You know, 5 years later, you might have sat there all weekend and something could have leached out of the fountain, something could have leached out of the solder that was put in 85, 86. You know, now all of a sudden that may leach out over time. You know, it's just, you want to go back and just keep doing it until we've done the two.
Okay, and by what year will we know that we have taken all the lead pipes out of the water system in the city? Is that something that we're, we've got this long program now?
We have a long program. We have, we've identified what we believe are 630-some suspected lead services. So lead services consist of full-length lead services, in other words, in the public main, mm-hmm. the meter, 200 and some of those. There's 300 and some that are just in the property. And what we've got to do is we've contract it out with an engineering firm to go and put design, bid spec, construction administration, and then an engineering to go and put out a contract to go and take those out of the way.
Okay, good. I'll let somebody else go.
Okay. Allison had to step out. She's going to return. So, Lisa, you are next.
Thank you. I've got some big picture questions and some newsworthy assessments. Okay.
Sure.
Big picture one, I don't know if this is Jim or Ted, but one of the discussions we often have at budget time is talking about MWRA assessments, both of, you know, together they're about $37 million of big dollars. Both have gone up this year, not too much, but tell us how we're doing with water use and INI and water consumption and how are we feeling about the increase in the MWRA assessment. Are we feeling good or are we feeling bad? What?
State of our infrastructure?
Well,
Ted and Lou actually met with MWRA on this today, so I'm going to let them touch on it.
Do you feel good or do you feel bad?
I feel good.
You look good.
I'll start off with water consumption because of, you know, all the unaccounted for and all that. So if you look at going back since November, 2015, we were down to 2014 level. Alright? In 2016, we're actually, for January, February, we were right at what we consumed in 2015. And now in March and April, we're actually down below what we consumed in 2014. So our flows are obviously dropping. Why? I'm sure a lot of it, you know, it has to do with consumption. We've got aggressive leak detection out there. We've done some investigation ourselves. Found, you know, substantial leaks. Found actually at the client's top at client's school. There was a leak on their domestic service that no, it wasn't showing. It was actually going into a perimeter drain around the school, going into Laundry Brook. We found that. We've also, in the city of Newton, there are what they call sewer collectors. And they're basically dead end sewer mains that they tap a service into a manhole that they would periodically turn on and flush the sewer. We've gone through in the process of doing the INI investigation when those are, when Western Sand is inspecting all these thousands of manholes, they bring those to our attention. If it's dead, you know, we get rid of it out of the manhole, or we go and kill it at the main. We found a few of those that were leaking, so we went in there and killed. So it's a combination of leak detection, will be done with leak detection probably in the next week for a complete round of the city. It's taking about 6 to 8 weeks to do. I plan on scheduling another leak detection probably late October with a different company, put a different set of eyes on it. So that's where we stand with water. You know, when you look at non-revenue in our college board, we still have a high non-revenue in 24, 25, 26%. But if you look at the unaccounted for, what you can't typically account for, and if you take in Howard Water Audit, if they did, and use 2013 data, and then I had them go back and run for 2015, that's right around 17-18% of unaccounted
for. I would put that in perspective, 15% is good, the average, good average, 10% is your fantastic, or greater system, 10%. So 18%
a little bit, you know, beyond, you know, good. Good lines at 9.
Good lines at
9. Just want to have the bar set, right?
Okay, so the sewer flows. The reason that we got bumped up, and we just met with MWRA today, you know, the gentleman from the Garden Meeting, flows, INI, and talked considerably amount about our sewer flows and our concerns. And how it works, if you look at last year's assessments were based on 2012, 13, 14, percentage of the system as a whole, alright? And we had very good years. You know, in 2012, 4.87, 4.73, 4.78. Prior to that, we were 5.4, 5.2, 5.4. So now, you come in, and now these assessments are based on 13, 14, 15. Alright, so now that 4.87, that was a good year back in 2012, is thrown out, and 15 is added, 15 is 5.08. Now, the other one, why they went down is because they were high in 2012. That got thrown out, and now the best number is better now. So it's just.
Why?
Yeah.
We think it was caused by the wet year, which was. So way here, but only in all these sort of sections. So the rest of the city is still under infiltration.
We have, you know, there's a lot of different places. There's, you know, you have to look at the depth of pipe, the size of the system. You know, we even have more pipes that are below groundwater, and that's the Brook, versus, you know, an Everett or Brookline or. So there's a lot of variables. The other thing that they looked at, they have used 7 million gallons a day as our average daily flow. All right? And that's based on your driest, your lowest sewer flows in the winter, your lowest water consumption, and sewer flows in the fall, in the heat of the summer. And they look at that and say, okay, on average, it's 7 million. They've gone back and they reevaluated that, and now they're looking at like 7.5, 7.6 million gallons a day. So by doing that, now our I-9, bring it down. And we're also going to be sitting for like 48%. There's areas in town that are estimated because the school station drains directly into the MWRA swamp line, which I don't need to. So they estimate that based on the population, based on comparing to adjacent areas that are monitored. There's a couple in Auburndale that are estimated to be done I-9 work, and they're going back and reevaluating that.
So I'll jump in and just say, you took Trace 5 for a number of years there and holding down the NWRA sewer assessment and added a cup on that for all the
could work in kids proactively on sewer, and if that's looking ahead, is that behind us, or is it just an anomaly?
Well, I mean, if I look at the numbers that they give me, and you go back to 2008, we were 5.57, almost 5.6%. We were 5.5 in 2009, 5.27, 5.46, now we're 4.8, 4.7, 4.8, and this year we're 5.8. So we're still well below.
We just received them this morning. We're due for a water working group meeting.
Ted has to dig
into all of this.
Okay. Ted has some good information. It's much clearer when you see it on the chart.
But I used to add, and we should add that, keep in mind, Mass Water Resources Authority's operating budget also increases. It increases about 3.9% every year. That increase was also passed down to the community, so you got to take that chunk into account too. So they're not flat line, where they have a 3.9% increase.
I would say we're due for an update, and then we can just fill that for everybody else.
That is big picture comment. If I am understanding the correctly, and you're not being. But on the page one, I see the dollars going towards street maintenance increasing by $367,000. Simultaneously, I know you're changing the way you're going to do the street work and be doing it much more in depth. But nonetheless, if I added up the numbers correctly, this coming year you're going to do 8 miles of very expensive paving. And last year, or this current fiscal year, it was 13.4 miles. So in any way I look at this, the dollars going into street maintenance should be going down. The quality of the work that you might be doing may be increasing, but the number of miles that you're going to get through is significantly degraded. And I guess my comment, and this maybe goes to the mayor and Maureen, I'm disappointed that we aren't putting more dollars towards this aspect of the budget. To go from 60 miles down to 8 miles, even if you're doing it better. To those of us who drive on the road, it still feels like fewer miles are being done, and you feel it sincerely and under the surface.
Rob, on the
Okay.
So the large decrease you can see is in personnel expenditures and training benefits, and that's for a transfer that we're doing for sweeping into the stormwater budget.
Those are the employees. So that's when you see street maintenance. If you go back, street maintenance.
There's a larger net increase. But if you look at the actual controllable line, then you can see that it's increasing from the previous years.
Which line?
Where's the big total?
That controllables are all the expenses.
Okay.
So the 52 to 55.
Right.
Okay. I guess it would be useful for somebody like me to understand the dollars that are going to get this movement as I suffer from this. Last year and compare it to the next year so that can do that. But then I guess because you're changing the way you're going to do street maintenance,
I guess my point still would be we need to increase the budget to be able to do the number of miles to really make a difference in that ahead, because the number of miles, our business position index is also in previous years during the budget process, we usually went over. I'm guessing it goes down next year. You're doing fewer miles, so our CPI is going to decrease next year. That's my hypothesis. And that's very uncomfortable to me.
Okay. I can touch on it quick. Last year, just to put this in layman's terms, last year we spent $3.3 million on the street. This year we have that same 3.3, that's Chapter 90, that's $1 million override. We're also going to be asking for another $500,000. And we're also...
What do you mean you're going to ask?
Yeah, that's a docketed item to ask for $500,000. You haven't seen that yet, so it's not in here.
Okay, it's okay, then. Can you just tell us where is that $3.3 million? How do I find that in this budget?
I don't think you can find it in this budget.
It's in the capital.
That's in the Chapter 90, and a million dollars
over.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't see it. So $2.3 million of Chapter 90, $1 million of override, and then this year we're going to be asking for an additional $500,000 from free cash, and we've also applied for the MassDOT $450,000 grant, which we're going to increase also. So this year will actually be $4.25 million as opposed to 3.3 last year. So there will be an increase, and we did discuss about why the miles of streets are less. And again, we may see some change. We will see some change in that with our new street scan procedure. That's going to change the way we do things, how we do them. It may show us that we can get away with overlaying more roads. We don't know that. I doubt it. It's probably going to be a worst case scenario, to be honest with you. But we will have that data this summer, and it will be part of our road plan that we're going to finalize.
Can I ask another question about that point? So if we wanted to increase, let's say we wanted to increase by 5 miles, that money would be in the capital budget, not here. Is that right? I just want to make sure I understand where the money is.
Well,
the operating is the total budget. Yeah. But it's not in the personnel expenses.
Well,
it depends on how
you
right?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't put the
$1 million override fund that we falls under engineering.
What?
This is
another example of why it would be really helpful in this budget in particular, because it's a high budget to read. Because there's so many transfers and so on and so forth, and that other list where you have to read from the bottom up, it would be really helpful to have a narrative, the way Dave Wilkinson gives us a narrative of the budget as a whole, but just specific to MCW to understand a lot of these questions wouldn't have. A lot of these questions I think would have been for next time. But I'm going to work on it for the presentation to the board because, and Nadia's going to help me because she's going to take such great notes. But we may have questions for you. It's tough to read this budget because there's so many different things going on and money moving from one place to another, from one budget to another. And a pretty simple narrative by substantive area would be really helpful
to understand, just to understanding it.
Last year to this year comparison.
Yeah. So we wouldn't be making assumptions by, oh, it looks like we're not, you know, we're spending less in the streets budget, or it looks like we're spending less in some other budget. And we, then we could be really clear about where Pastor might be spending more money, as you laid out in your presentation, that you asked for more money in a half a dozen different areas, and that you've got it. But it's hard to see. It's hard to follow.
No, and I apologize for that. We'll be sure to do that going
forward. Well, the budget was the same last year, to be honest with you, with this budget. It has to do with how the EPW budget, I think, is structured. But this year you have some additional money moving over to stormwater, so it's complicated it even further.
No, and it has. Again, we're trying to appropriate the funds where they belong. Like I said, the rock question was a prime example. The street sweeping, moving it to where we feel it should be. So, yes, there was quite a bit of that.
And is Rob the person you were waiting for earlier when we, I just wanted to point
yes,
out.
Yes, Rob Zemanski is our finance manager, so he wasn't here for the introduction.
Right, so Rob, on pages 1 and 2, just so that we have this information right now, we were talking about how to read this, and it became clear, make sure I'm saying this right, that if you start from page 2 and read from the bottom up on the same column, and you just add the fact, then you come back up to page 1, and that's how you come up with that number, the $821,000
loss. And when you're looking at it, that's the majority of that is what you're
doing. Yeah, that right. Was pointed out by Dan. So
that accounts for what ultimately was that it was increased.
It was suggested that perhaps this could be presented in a way that would make clear that $821,000 is in fact a summary of these two pages.
Okay.
Sorry about that. It's just everybody seemed to be talking at once, and it seemed to be getting confusing. Directed Roseanne. Okay.
These are now just minor questions, and you can always direct this to them. So I'll get to this in a minute. It seems to me, I know those of us who finance got it, I'm guessing everybody did from James Wilkinson. There was a fund of available funds. Our sewer fund surplus and our water fund surplus seem to be very generous right now. And I hope we're drawing those down as close as possible. They're of our annual operating budget. Water is 14% of our annual water budget. So I hope we do this right. Let me just suggest the stormwater, when it goes to the back of the book, the stormwater fringe benefits make no sense to me, Rob. And I wonder if maybe some clues where I'm making a better understanding of personal services on page 6, where that is stormwater, which is all our salaries and all that, are going off. But somehow, student benefits are going down. They should correlate with each other and not be opposite.
Well, some of this related to the pension contribution.
Yeah, so why is the pension?
I would have to check with Warren and do that with numbers. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for why they're going down. I would check on that
issue. You know, on that public work, we got this new system on page 1.
Yep.
So I have to call it in the detail of the pages later, but you just mentioned. You go from supplemental to the sidewalk above it to the traffic flow control, which is behind it. And it's just not there. It's like, that was something we were all paying attention to. They wanted to see the detail on it. You're going to your bonus to your first payment. And I put a special part in for the notice that I drive down Station Street. The bike lane there, which is heavily used, is just in terrible shape in terms of being dirty, when the rock, I just don't know how these bikes work, so I don't know whether that's the bike lane needs. You're already going from 2 to 6 pounds, but so maybe that's going to take care of it. But if it just
takes it, that would explain why the bikes are on Beacon Street yesterday. It was riding not in the bike lane, but on the street.
It's dangerous.
I would say thermal plastic on roads would just, rather than paint, it would just be a thermal plastic for,
we're doing both.
So
we're
going away from
time. Yes. We did use some paint last year because we were behind and we had another contractor that we could bring in that could do just paint because we were already contracted to do just thermal plastic with our contract.
And Andrea reminded me, because at one point we talked about in the future, our parts for craft were going to decrease in size over time. Did we give up on that plan?
People have to request those, and I don't know if they're coming.
No, it was instead when we instituted the hours was
semi-automated.
Plan was originally we were going to start with 50
buses,
and then in a series of years when we had to replace the cart.
We've been joined by Alderman Lugredo. And in federal events. So that was one of my questions about whether residents will have the option to purchase a smaller time. I wasn't aware that you could do that. I was saying that I don't think the public is as aware as some people are.
Okay. Well, if it's not on the website, we'll make sure we start there, and then I'll let 311 know also.
Can I just ask, can the machine pick up the small cart or just the big cart?
Yeah.
No, it can.
Let's just stick with one person.
The second thing was on the red question. So there is already a plan to move forward and test, and we already are testing certain sections of the school. So what's the grant going to be used for? Is the grant for additional testing?
Well, there's two of them. There's one that lose some of the information, and they were thought to have protected from the state.
When I say the state grant, it's like all the schools.
Okay, for what state?
All the caps and all the schools.
So instead of doing it?
Yeah, so the school would be able to have some set them all in that way.
Okay.
The MWRA, their interest loan is to take lead out of the ground. As far as testing goes, they've agreed to test and give you samples that I pulled from the school. I talked to them today about, doing additional testing. They weren't really very forthcoming as far as what they want to do in that department. In other words, the residents and all that stuff.
So is it actually really what I'm more concerned about? Mm-hmm. Because I don't know how many kids are drinking water from the water fountain in general. I'm more concerned about as they're changing on the site, mm-hmm. that something can happen and then going through residential water fountains.
Right, so currently there is a process for residents to have their water tested. They can call customer service. There is a fee to have that done. It's like $40, I believe. So there is a process, and we can supply them with the test kits and the location to send that to.
So it's like saying there is no grant right now for community to do that?
Not residents.
Okay. And then the final thing was streetlights. So I'm glad that we're doing the assessments and we're going to start looking at it, but I just want to put as a high priority the commuter rail stations and the sort of high level of connections, because it's just so dark on certain stations, particularly the commuter rail stations. People are coming out and then they're just personally, out for wherever they park or wherever they walk to, and it's just really dark.
Okay. Well, as we're doing this, we're focusing, as I said earlier, on the areas where we know we've had automobile pedestrian accidents, and then as we continue, we're going to look at the high traffic areas, but the transportation of those centers is going to move out to lower areas, but that's the focus on the high pedestrian areas.
And I'm wondering whether or not we can get any help from the EOT on that, just so you're there.
Are they there once?
No, they're
probably not. Are the lights at the station about hour length?
Well, I think what Amy's referencing
is three quarters.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, lights adjacent to commuter rails and two stations and all that.
But also the parking lot.
Thank you. Okay. And rejoined by Councilor Larry. Are you ready?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're next.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mr. Mayor, I was happy to see that one of your goals for next year is to increase the recycling rate from the time around, which is around 38% up to 46%. So I was just wondering if you had a plan now, it might be a little early, because I know you just had a recycling manager.
Yeah.
Have you thought about how you might do that, going up 6%? Is that going to be in 1 year?
Well, that's our goal. I mean, we set a goal to increase our recycling rate by 20%. We think we can do quite a bit with outreach because we know we haven't done anything in well over a year.
Right. I think it's so important with recycling and
especially
I'd like to
expand. And it is. And that's one of the first places we plan on starting out. We've already had preliminary talks with our new employee, and we're looking forward to it. She's very excited, very knowledgeable, so this is a good time.
Okay. I just want to make some comments about when you were talking about we're paying to sell the condo and recycling. Is that including aluminum? Because aluminum is quite valuable.
That's our single stream.
So I guess the point I want to make is that the problem with single stream is convenient, but it's easier to degrade the quality of our feedstock. That's why the bottle bill is so good, because it's relatively short and they get pretty good money for the glass. Whereas our glass is shattered, the paper gets wet. So if you're talking long term about significantly improving our recycling rate, you might want to consider how we do it and maybe modify the industry. And if we're going to do replacing carts, you might want to consider smaller carts. There's some from hospitals, so there's carts for paper or something to that effect. But the simple trim is not far from perfect. So that's just, that would be more of a longer term plan to think about in terms of improving, not having to. I know the market's worldwide. Even China doesn't want to take our recycled feedstocks anymore, so it is a tough market. But that's certainly a concern. One other thing, I had asked you before, back in January, I asked you some questions, and I thought you might have some answers, a couple of them. One of them was the cost-benefit analysis related to installing a solar dumpster versus continuing composting on site, or how to truck everything. And the other thing about the decision around Rumford was, it seemed to me that there was kind of a unilateral decision and there was no public input, since we haven't had the call for 2 weeks, and by what we're supposed to do that, I think we really lack an opportunity to have the public and the city councilors and others who could have been involved in that decision. So, I think the process was far from transparent. So it's not so much the decision, it's the process that I have some concerns about. It may be the right thing to go over there. But to also do it when you haven't had anyone managing it, and it certainly hasn't been there as well for years. And that it just seems so convenient to say, okay, let's get rid of it. And to have the solar company go ahead and check the site out and get their opinion about whether it's suitable for solar or not, I think that's kind of what you were saying last time, rather than relying on staff or a geologist or sometimes an engineer to evaluate the site for solar. So do you have any information on how the site was evaluated and how you came to the decision of it?
Sure. So I have minimal information on the solar. Again, that's Bill Ferguson is heading that up. Obviously, we're involved with it. There were public meetings on this. I attended three of them.
Yeah.
Right, so there was some public input. Again, so up at Rumford this year, we've had 9 fires in 12 months up there. So if we said economics aside, that's a huge concern for me. And I know it is for the fire chief, and I know it is for the residents.
I don't remember ever having fires.
Okay. I got the stats today from the fire department, because it's been 4 in my time here. So I asked for the last 12 months, and they said they were 9 fires. So I'm just, these are just the facts.
We have a comment over there.
We've had fires up there in the past. When the DPW Highway Department managed that fire, Phil Lane, and were there, because we were frequently called by somebody up there. So, that's been an ongoing issue up there for many years. For all the years that I've been in the city of Newton, we've had a fire there.
Is it becoming more frequent?
There's a lot of compost up there. Yeah.
But if only compost doesn't normally catch on fire.
Right, my exact point is that and public works don't want to be in the business to manage compost. Now there are professional facilities nearby that will do that. So again, the fires are a concern. But then if we look at the economics, we're looking at approximately on the low side, this is, in talking with Josh and Bill Ferguson, that the payback for solar at Rumford is $400,000 to $500,000 a year to the city. Our disposal of the current yard waste would be $56,000 a year. So what that does is, there's obviously a great cost benefit to the city, but also on our operational end, now I can take 2 operators and put them out in the street working, as opposed to having them manage this compost facility that. No, I know. That's why I'm telling you. That's why.
That's the thing. Yes. So, as I say, it really was the right decision to do it, but without a process, without this, consolidation, and the consolidation that I think are very important. Look how great the water and sewer, and stormwater is doing. I think that's.
So, Allison, if I may, I'd like to really focus this on budget, and I think what I'm hearing is something we've asked for a long time, and I've mentioned again to the commissioners, it came from the finance committee, first of all, asking us a couple of years ago to do a a cost-benefit assessment of the composting operation. This was before solar was even a thought, so it had really nothing to do with that. And I think we'd still like to just to have it in front of them. I mean, this could be exactly the right decision. In fact, they've already made the decision to go ahead with the solar installation, which is only a small part of which would be over what is now the composting operation. But it would be really helpful, I think, and anyone else can chime in, but to have that cost-benefit analysis, because clearly you all have thought about that, thought about it from an economic point of view, and I just think you have never seen a distilled sort of thumbnail budget that tells us, okay, here's how much it costs to set up and run the composting operation, here's how much staff it took, and, you know, it was a loss, here's how much it was, you know, why, whatever. And you know, going forward, why, if you believe this is true, which is what we're hearing, what it would cost to instead haul it out and have these other more professional organizations turn it into a better compost. But just that thumbnail by the number, I think it would just be really helpful if we could see that to put it into the discussion, basically. That where we're going with that?
Yep. And okay. Then I just wanted, did you find that that's legal for solar as well? Or that wasn't a problem? Just doing oil or anything like that?
Again, we rely on the company who has engineers on board, also working with our environmental engineers who've had up there since the landfill was passed. We expect that they work with them because they know the landfill intimately.
Okay. It was not tested for lead, was it?
No.
Because
well, it may have been. I'm sorry. Not in my time. I said, you know, when we have a discussion.
I mean, during the last 2 years, it was tested when only Ben College was in it because it was
certified again. So let me just give you a budget that you had goals of five and 15 miles of shared bicycling and bike lanes. And none of them, they didn't happen. No, they didn't. So were there reasons why they didn't, and are you expecting to be able to meet the goals in the upcoming years? Yes, we will definitely meet the goals for the upcoming years. As I discussed earlier, what happened last year is our funding for our pavement markings went into crosswalks and also to pave, to stripe the areas that we were paving. This year we put that striping into our paving contract. So now the funding that we have for striping will go towards striping areas of maintenance, bike lanes, things of that nature that need it.
Okay. And one of the other things you can do is all this, and I would like to actually consider getting some high school students involved in that because they're very involved in doing some of the school.
Well, first of all, we're happy to work with any of the students. We actually take interns. We're looking at starting an internship even in our garage. As far as the solid waste commission goes, I don't know if that's up to me. So, okay.
Right now, the mayor appoints all the members of the solid waste commission.
Yeah, and I think I had relayed in one of our last calls, she said there was some confusion on my part, Allison. I think I had explained this to you. I thought there was a recommendation to have a working group on solid waste, but what your actual question was to just get the commission up back and going.
Yeah.
So what he said was that once the recycling manager came on, that they would get it going, reappointed, get going, and get back to work.
That's what he explained.
It was my fault about the miscommunication about a work. We kept pressing for a working group, and he kept saying, I'll get back to you. And then you and I had a subsequent conversation where I just understood what you were asking about.
Yeah, just
by
ordinance,
we're
supposed to have
it's my fault.
No, and I appreciate holding off.
I misunderstood what you meant.
Until we did hire a new recycling manager, because that's a great help to us. Because right now, again, it's the Shane and I and other individuals juggling
baseball.
May 16th.
Is when the recycling manager comes on board?
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
All that?
Yeah.
I wondered, Commissioner, would you, you talked about, with me, about filling positions in the department, and you've made some progress. Do you want to say a few words about that?
Sure. So again, when I came on late August, early September, we were 30 positions. I pulled the report today from HR, and we're down to 16 vacancies. So we are aggressively making headway, filling all our positions.
Okay. So I have Cheryl and then Scott.
I've already asked questions.
I just wanted to make a comment about the number of miles that we're paving.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be extremely clear about what I'm about to say, because it may come across as a criticism, but it's not. So I just want to put that out there first. But it's to the point about the difference between the 13 and the 8. One thing that I've talked to the director of operations about, and I think I've mentioned to you in the past, is that the area that Allison and I live in, it's great. It's really great because we have a lot of retired contractors that live in the area. And it's really bad because we have a lot of retired contractors living in the area. So we get a lot of very detailed information about the construction and the roads and everything that's going on. And I think that the philosophy, and just correct me if I'm wrong in saying that, going from 13 miles to 8 miles and doing the 8 miles the right way is actually a good thing. Because the complaints that I hear, and I'm using complaints loosely, constructive criticism, okay, is that we rush to do this number and get this number done, and then it gets done, and then the next year we get a call or a complaint or whatever you want to call it about the same area the next year. And instead of going in and doing it the right way the first time, that's what I would prefer to see, and I think that that's what a lot of taxpayers would prefer to see, to have it done the right time. So I can be supportive if we're going to be upfront with people, we're going to be upfront with taxpayers and talk about exactly what it is we're doing and how we're doing it. So I actually kind of appreciate the shift in philosophy, and I would be willing to go out and talk a little bit more about that, because I just feel that a lot of times it's the same inquiries about the same areas that we've done, and that duplicates effort, it duplicates staff time. I just think by doing it right the first time, showing taxpayers we're using a bang for their buck, I think it's much better. So I just want to put that out there. I appreciate that we're sort of leveling with folks. That's how I feel about it. So.
No, thank you. That is our goal. I said it doesn't sound good when we say, well, we did 12 last year, we're spending another million this year, what's going on? And that all, it does come at a cost. And again, you know, we're working again to develop this roads program, and you're going to see it. We're going to have this tool that we can really utilize to show people, do we want to see the PCI go up 8 points? Well, here's what we need to spend. We're going to have this tool. So it's exciting times for us, but again, we want to make sure we do it right. There are areas where we go in and we can make temporary repairs. We're going to have to do that, again, because of the condition of the roads. There are areas where, hey, we should mill and overlay this, but because we have a huge heating issue here, we're going to address that and overlay it and get us through a few years. There are going to be areas still where we have to do that, which is not going to be perfect, but we're going to try to do the majority of it the right way.
On that point, you said since then finished today?
Yes.
So when do you think we would get the roads plan?
I mean, we were hoping to have it finalized by the fall. We should have their data with the tool. They say 3 months. It's rare when we get things on time. But they were great during the pilot program.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, realistically, we'll have the data late this summer. And again, then we have that tool to work with, and we put our plan in place going forward for next year.
Great. Okay, thank you. Can you just give us a quick update on the unaccounted for water, the reservoir? Did we test that yet? I know we checked. It's still not tested.
I think I touched on that in the CIP. I'm sorry.
Oh.
We were going to test that in the fall. MWRA came in because we have to shut two 20-inch mains down.
Right.
And these gate valves are vintage of the reservoir, which is what, 18, 18?
Right,
MWRA was
very nervous because the impact, if those valves break shut or break half open or there's some issue, it's going to impact water throughout the city and the area. So they requested that we replace these gate valves before we do this, because this is also a great test for them in case we ever do have to shut this reservoir down.
And when are we replacing the gate valves?
We are doing those summer or fall tests.
We did summer, yeah. The contract is being let in a month or two.
So we should be able to test the reservoir by the fall?
In the fall.
That's what it's fully kind of
good. Okay.
From probably within the next month, the divers in there doing the inspection.
Oh, okay. At least something else is happening. That's good. This is probably for you, Rob. You had mentioned salt, the salt brine that we're using, and I see number 33 on the CIP is the salt brine system. And the funding source is bonding. We usually bond for heavy equipment or projects to, so this is.
Right, so what I'll touch on that, only because I'm familiar with it.
Uh-huh.
It is equipment to produce our own brine, which we were suggesting last year, but we tried using the magnesium chloride, which I say is a more environmentally friendly product. And we really want to look at the cost this year now that we've gone a season through using that. We may continue to use the magnesium chloride instead of producing our own brine with that equipment that we've requested.
So that's not a... Okay.
It's not. No.
But either what way bonding, you're bonding it because it's equipment? Or is it...
Yes, yeah, so it is because
okay.
of equipment.
I think that's it. Thank you.
No? Okay.
Well,
you
shouldn't ask questions.
No, I'll remember that.
I don't want to be
repetitive. When you came for the CIT, it was too early to talk. I think you'd only had one meeting with Engrid, with the public utilities, but you've had additional meetings since then. And I was wondering if you could speak tonight at all additionally about progress in coordinating street work with them. And some of us have noticed who have brand new streets, by the way, that they've been recently marked up with yellow lines indicating cast iron gas mains that have to be replaced, I suppose. Was there progress in the last meeting or two that you've had with Engrid? Did you feel like they were?
Yeah, no, we've really made progress. First, the lines on, there was a gas leak on Boylston. So Engrid went 100 feet in each direction to mark the street in case they have to chase that. So that's the markings that you're referring to.
It's not my Circuit Avenue mark, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about there was an explosion at Ellis and Moodine. There was a manhole.
Oh, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
That was electrical. It had nothing to do with gas. That was electrical.
The most recent one that you inquired about last week is in relation to there was a gas leak called in on Boyle Street.
I see.
The structural grid did the circuit was
did all the perpendiculars?
Exactly.
Okay.
So because that was the nearest intersection, the way the joints work, is typically they chase joints as they're chasing these leaks.
I understand.
So they did 100 feet in each direction.
My bigger question, though, is I know this is an ongoing issue and you're trying to gain additional cooperation with them by meeting monthly, but you were not quite at the point last time we talked about this during the CIC where you had been able to coordinate your paving projects with their work, and you had been able to coordinate some paving projects.
We coordinated the water project.
With water projects, right, but not paving projects. So did you make progress on the paving project?
We did. So last month, we had shared our paving list months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's difficult working with the utilities. You all hear it, and it's a reality. We meet with them every month, and sometimes we don't get far, and other times we do. But this year we did with the water. We coordinated the water lines, and we do have some coordination with our paving. There are some lines that they've said, you know, they may do in the future. We haven't gotten the date from them yet, so we may see our paving schedule change also. But we do have some commitments from them, which we've never had in the past, unless they were already working on a line. So
you know, we're making headway there. It's really out of our hands, but we have a good relationship. We actually have people we can call now when there is an issue. And we just started doing the same thing with Eversource. We just had our second meeting with Eversource for the same process there on the underground utility light issues that we have. We haven't been able to make any headway with that. So, yes, it's not perfect by any means, but we are making headway.
Okay. So, thank you. That's good to hear. So, a couple more hands, Vicki and then Mark.
On lights, somebody asked a question about lights. I think it was you, Susan. But we had 200 out. Now there are 100 out. And of those 100, 76 are due to underground wiring issues.
Correct.
That we're working with the electric company on.
Yes.
We hope to resolve that during the summer this year, during the season.
This will be ongoing throughout the year. We'll see. Some of these could be major repairs. It depends on where the underground issue is. They'll be trenching across the streets, on sidewalks. Some of them may be simple. So, yeah, this will be an ongoing process.
Okay, now, so if it will be an ongoing issue, let's say your goal would be to get half of them done this summer, maybe?
That is our goal in the budget book, actually, is to get 50% of those.
And does that actually mean that by the fall, we might be down to 35 or 40 lights out in the city? For the first time since I can remember, is that?
So our goal for the budget is to get 50% decrease within this fiscal year. Within this fiscal year.
Okay, so starting June to June.
Exactly. But part of that is, as Jim said, we've had our second meeting with Eversource. We gave them the list of the 76 locations that we had underground issues. We've asked them to explore that for us because it simply might be that we don't have a connection in the manhole that they own.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the process that we might do. We're hoping that maybe some of those will get rectified by them doing that initial investigation.
Any past years when some of us have tried to, I think all of us have probably tried to take some of these things down, one of the issues that I've heard is a complaint that the city can't coordinate or doesn't coordinate, that the electric company says, well, we're willing to go there, but the city doesn't send a person. Is that ever the case, or is that just been a flat-out?
That is incorrect. I can tell you right now, we have 12 open work orders with Eversource that have been open for more than a few weeks, and we're trying to get them to tell us when they're going to do the work. And that, as Jim said, is very difficult because we essentially are told, you'll know when we do the work, when you get the invoice, that we've done the work. So these are things that Jim and I are trying to overcome these monthly meetings to say, we are a customer just like if we were purchasing power for our residential home. If we do a work order, you should tell us these things. But it's very difficult to get them to play nicely.
And my last question is there anything that we can do, this committee or the council, can do to help make that process for you any tighter, any easier to deal with the electric company?
Advocating with our state lawmakers to have DPU be more stringent and tougher on the utilities companies. So it's got to come at a state level because the DPU manages and is a regulatory authority. So advocate with our legislative bodies at the state level. So it's going to have to encourage the companies to help.
It just came up at the library a couple of talks in a row. Lee Savitz and Bill Ferguson were there, and other folks were there earlier about the gas companies and leaks, and it all comes down to state legislation. And there's a couple of pending bills, one of which has gone into study committee, so that's not a good thing, to try to further regulate the utility companies. Is this on this point? Or
it's directly on this. Okay. There was a Boston College Neighborhood Council meeting last night, and Boston College would like our help with EverSource. That is Pond Parkway. It's deep now, but Boston College uses it for football parking and the stadium parking and the star. And there are eight Lux Street lights out there that they've been going through directly to EverSource and through DCR. And as you say, I volunteered.
So much for the 50%.
So, Mark, and then Susan.
So, forgive me if this was asked before, if it was also asked. When you're doing kind of your complete streets process, what are you doing about the utility poles, particularly ones that are in poor shape? What are you doing as part of the process to get those done at the same time?
So we haven't really dealt with the utility pole counter, unless we've seen something that's in serious.
But why not? I mean, if you're going to, I'll pick Waverly Ave, because that's what you did last summer. If you're going to Waverly Ave, which seemingly well before you start the process, somebody ought to be walking down or driving down and noting all the utility poles there, ones that are tilting, ones that maybe have wires that are all over the place, double poles. This is the opportunity to do that and do it right, because you're digging up the whole area.
No, we can try to bring the utilities in. It's just we.
Well, but you, I guess my point is, if you call them 2 weeks in advance, they were coming in next week, you're not going to get it done. But if you know that you're going to be doing it 3-6 months in advance, that's the time to get them in there. And frankly, maybe beneficial for them too. You know, maybe there's a detail in place already, you're going to have to get another detail. A lot of things it seems to me you could do at that time. Likewise, do you coordinate with Mark Welsh if you're doing these streets now?
Yes.
Okay, so he is coming down, I'm going to just use Waverly Ave as an example. He is coming down to Waverly Ave well in advance of when you do your work and marking all the trees and noting what needs to be done and what doesn't need to be done?
Yes.
Is he taking out stumps at that point?
Yes.
So everything is being done from a tree perspective.
From a tree perspective, yes. ADA perspective also, we walk it with Jeannie Fairley now, we bring her down. Engineering's there, highway's there, utilities there.
What about street lights and fire hydrants? Are they all being done at the same time?
Utilities will look at anything that's associated with that, storm drains, hydrants. Street lights, if we need to replace them, we haven't really come across that. Again, everything was just done with the LEDs.
It's not just the lighting, it's not just the light itself. I'm trying to think about a very holistic approach so that when I come to, again, Waverly Ave after it's been done, I look at it and say, wow, this was done, as President Lennon said, this was done right. And not just done right from a paving perspective and a line perspective, but everything from the property lines in, sidewalks and curbs and plantings are done. And so you're not coming back and doing it repetitively. And I'm getting a sense that that's happening somewhat, mm-hmm. but not in as robust a way as I hope you would.
Well, so, I think, you know, in fairness, those polls weren't specifically mentioned, but everything else in the public way, that the city has control over was part of the presentation.
Okay.
Why
and
we're
I
doing all this,
yeah.
Why we're doing fewer miles and spending more money is for that reason so much. What I'm hearing is that going forward, that's the intention.
So little,
except for the polls, which is a
concern. Right, we could try that, Council. As we said, it's very frustrating, it's time consuming. I don't know if we get a commitment. We haven't tried it.
If we started meeting with EverSource,
They don't even own all the poles. Verizon owns some of them, so.
You know, but I'll push back a little bit. I sat through a whole bunch of meetings on double poles, okay? When the city officials sat there and said, it's all the utility stuff, and that wasn't true.
No.
Okay. In fact, it was significantly the city's fault for not getting wiring done, removal of wires done to get rid of double poles. So I think, you know, there's some finessing going on here, and I think it's wonderful that you're sitting down with utilities, and I'd make that part of it. But I just really would like to see it as a very holistic approach, and to me, that's a very significant part of it.
Yeah, no, we'll bring it up. We've had more success by doing exactly what you said, trying to finesse it, trying to build a relationship. You know, for the first time we have contact with EnGrid, we can call up and usually get an answer.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on that with Eversource now. We're meeting number two, you know, so that's exactly what it is. It's trying to finesse and build a relationship.
And it's little things, but are you doing that with street signs, you know, no parking signs or 2-hour parking? Is it going down the street? Are those street signs being fixed and repaired along the way? How do you
Yeah, we're doing that transportation there also on these walks. We're bringing all of public work. We're trying to do this, you know, a true complete street, not just in the sense that we're trying to make it more bike-friendly or pedestrian-friendly, but also the maintenance. You know, let's do it now and make it look like a new street.
So could you, during the course of your work this summer, maybe, if you're embarking on this new model, give us maybe just a quick email and say, these are 4 streets which we're going to be doing over the next 3 months. Come take a look at what they look like now.
Yeah, I'll have to look at Adams right now because there's Washington.
So Adams is going to be done?
Yeah.
Okay, so if I go to Adams Street, I can look at it now.
Yeah.
And then come back in 3 months or 4 months when you're done with your work and see how you've done.
Well, yeah, we've been talking for about 6 to 9 months about what Adams Street will look like, and each time we've had the conversation, we're adding new pieces to it in terms of new panels or curbings, and then Mark Welch did the walk, and then the ADA, like, it's really coming along. I'm really interested to see the final product, so.
And I'm very glad that you are taking such a lead on that. I don't know if the other councils and other wards have had that same opportunity.
Well, only because there were a couple of other issues on Adams Street that had to do with we passed money in this committee to fix a problem at a main line at Middle and Lincoln and Adams. So that was delaying some of what was happening on the street. So we're telling residents that Adams Street's getting done. Meanwhile, it got pushed back for a very good reason, mm-hmm. and then it just kept mushrooming a little bit, and then in that time, the philosophy changed a little bit about the complete streets. So that's the reason why we've been a little bit more in tune with what's going on, and like I said, the hope would be, I mean, I walked, Shane, I think I walked Adams Street with you your first week you were on the job,
yeah.
Right? And that was a while ago, and each time we talk about it, it seems to be getting better, so I think it could be used as would be a model that all other 23 councils could come down and look at.
I think that's wonderful. If you can have just give us 2 or 3 other examples of streets where you're going to be doing similar work, may not be as visible as Adams Street, I think it would be beneficial for us to get it. And frankly, we can be your supporters, because then we can go to the residents and say, hey, look at this street, and in our ward, this is the type of work we're doing. We're very proud of it. So I think it could be helpful.
No, thank you. And we will be reaching out to you. We started doing that on certain projects. We want to hear, because the counselor sometimes knows things that we don't. Well, not sometimes, usually. And like I said, we learned that, especially with snow this year. You know, we put our hotspot list together. It eliminated complaints, and that's, you know, usually we know about those long before we do.
Thank you very much. Helpful.
Okay. Susan, so on this topic, so you'll be letting the rest of us know what streets are planned for the summer?
Yes, the construction list is out there, but we will reach out, because I know people don't read that and shouldn't be expected to. We all are inundated with information, but yes, we will be asking for your input.
It's on the web, too.
Yeah, well, it is weekly, obviously, the construction.
But my real question was, of the 76 but not 84 street lights that you're working on,
So, would it be possible to, like, have a master list that you could give out to us and every 2 months give us an update? Because I know there are two in my ward that I got asked a lot about during my campaign, and I think they're still not fixed, even though they were promised that they'd be fixed.
Okay. If there are any of these underground, they haven't been.
Right. I'm sure they. But you know, as you solve things, it'd be nice for us to know about it.
Sure.
And then if somebody asks us about a particular light, we can say it's on the list. They're working on it. Mm-hmm. It's better than not knowing anything.
You get no credit when all the lights are working.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm good with that.
So some kind of a quarterly update. Just send it out. Thank you.
So anyone else? Allison.
Sort of a follow-up on Councilor Laredo's point about complete streets. So, would you also be evaluating them for stormwater improvements? Since we have this UMS4 coming out, and anywhere we can, keep areas pervious or, create more impervious areas, is that part of your plan when you're looking at complete streets? And is there any way for us to get more community input on some of the ideas that we have?
Yeah, so again, we've had meetings on the complete streets. We've had surveys out there, so we're hoping that we did get quite a bit of response on that. We're hoping everyone did because it's closed now. We're trying to finalize our complete streets. But yes, to answer your question.
Transportation, correct, and things? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talk about what we had up at the
Central Mall. Okay, yeah. Ted from Utilities, or one of his employees, always does the street walk with us. Actually, that's one of the reasons we put Adam Street off, because there was we discovered there was a collapsed storm drain there.
Yeah.
So that work was done before the street was closed. And that's one of the things that we're looking at. So yes, we're definitely trying to address all those issues and get these repairs fixed or discovered.
You were able to catch the collapsed storm drain by doing an inspection prior to your plan on paving.
Right. It was found during the stormwater inspection.
Okay.
Well, part of it too was there was a visual problem. We had been working on for quite some time, and they took the initiative to go all the way down the street. So it was actually a really good job that they did. We had some flooding at a particular residence, and they kept going down all the way down Adam Street. So that's how it was, as I remember. It was a good job.
Can I just ask what Allison asked, using different words, because I'm not sure you heard her question, which is, increasingly, many communities are reducing habitat from stormwater. So, and I'm wondering, as we're designing streets, are we being more creative in our stormwater, whether it's different types of stormwater management from
on certain roads in certain areas of the city, the answer is yes. The Crystal Lake area, Lake Dallas, for instance, the answer is yes. We're doing stormwater controls. We're proposing additional stormwater controls on Lake Pellet, which we did not pave. So the answer is Albemarle Road, for instance. We have the two roads on Albemarle Road. The stormwater goes actually flows down in chutes. It constantly chutes right into the Cheesecake Brook. When we pave Albemarle Road, we'll be proposing some much better stormwater controls on that, such as vegetative swales,
okay,
and the like, rather than hard piping into a catch basin and shooting it out into the brook. So where it's appropriate, where it's applicable, the answer is yes. On a local road where it's not near a stream, we clean the catch basins out, we fix the catch basins, we clean out the drains, but we don't go above and beyond that for those roads. But so the answer is on some roads where it's applicable.
My
guess
is in the decade ahead, will we be looking at stormwater the number of roads? I think we're probably going to have to broaden our definition of
first
applicable.
Well,
to be more creative, and
to meet the proposed MS4 permit requirements may require us to do more stormwater water control.
Another reason why we're due for a water sewer working group, right? We're really so much at the beginning of that whole process.
But Jack, that if that's the observation that Councilor Fuller has made, then the time to be starting to think about this is now, not 3 years from now. Why do work? I mean, you're doing this great complete streets mall. Why do work that is really not complete enough? So I would urge us if that's truly the problem and truly the expectation, I'd urge that for every project we do, that you engage in that consideration. Even if I think it's a balance. It's going to slow you down some. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost you some more money.
In fairness, though, I don't think we have those solutions figured out yet. NAMA 4 permit requiring increased water quality where we're dumping stormwater into the Charles River has just been established, and so I think would be fair to understand that I think our engineering department, our environmental engineers and so forth have to spend some time figuring out what our opportunities are throughout the city. We don't know yet.
I'm not suggesting we're going to have all the answers for this fiscal year. Just suggesting that the thinking about that start now.
Yes.
Even if you can't
absolutely
do it
yes
for a road this year, the thinking is starting now so that next year you are doing it and not waiting
yes
4 or 5 years.
Well, again, that's the reason we need to meet sooner. In the first couple of years of the stormwater plan is when some of the planning is supposed to happen, which will result in specific projects.
But I go back and I think, because Lennon said this and others, we need to be supportive of you if it's going to be a more complete, robust process, but inherently slower, unless your funding increases to that. And you need to allow us to be a vehicle for communication and explanation as to why that's the case.
Just back to the numbers quickly. I wanted to look at these numbers another way to figure out, okay, so your budget is actually increasing, not decreasing overall. And so really all I need to do to figure out how much it's increasing by is to zero out the additional snow and ice money. If I zero out the additional snow and ice money, in other words, I take the difference between that $2,026,000 and the $822,000, then the increase in your budget is $1,194,106.
Is that including the moving?
Yeah,
I
thought it was $1.5 million.
If you could get us that, because we just want to know.
Yeah.
Okay, for our budget book.
We'll put together that narrative.
Because we spent about 45 minutes trying to figure out the numbers.
Yeah,
so.
I'll put something together.
Perfect, thank you.
That would be great. Bravo. I just want to make sure everyone has asked all the questions they want to ask.
Just to figure that out, the stormwater personnel stays the same from fiscal year 16 to 17. I'm surprised because we're moving street cleaning over. So just if you do your narrative, help us understand that.
Okay.
I have a motion to approve, but I just have one comment, which is, I don't know if you saw the results of the census questions, but the two most important things to the citizens were streets and traffic. So I know we're going from 13 to 8. I know we're doing 8 better. I still think we should have more money in here. I'm just putting it up.
Well, next week we're going to have a chance to approve another $500,000.
Right, but it's not clear how many more streets that will.
And by October, we're going to know how many more millions we should be spending.
Right. So motion to draw approve.
Yeah, right. We don't need a motion. I think we draw on a straw vote how many would approve this budget. It is unanimous.
So can I ask a question about planning data that you're going to have. So at some point you'll have to come back to us and say, I need X million dollars
at today's cost to fix all these streets. Is that what you're hoping to have, a plan like that?
Well, we'll have a plan. We'll have that tool to say, if we spend $4 million, here's our current PCI. This is really, the PCI is the number that we all, it's the condition of our streets.
Yeah.
You know, if we spend $4 million, the PCI is going to go to here. If we spend $8 million, it's going to go to here. And again, it's going to get to a point where it's a balance also. We can't gridlock the city with all this construction. It's tough now in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
So again, there's going to be this balance.
Think what we're looking for is what would it cost? What would be the total cost to bring our streets up to X level of condition? And then, if you spread that out over some number of years, 20 years, 25 years, whatever it is, how much more road work could we do in each year?
Yeah, that's what I'm interested in.
So not ever expecting to do it all at once, but
right,
so what would a plan be for improving our PCI, and what's the target? That, is that what
we'll be seeing? Yes, we'll be able to forecast that out.
Okay.
On that point, spreading it out over 25 years, assuming that the life of the street is around 25 years here.
Yeah.
Well, we're also seeing the life of the street. You know, the material is not as good as it used to be here, that's with all the recycled materials that we use. So even paving is not as good. That is not
right. I think we can safely go and thank everybody for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.